Psalm is written by David, and David has said this. David has said in 1 Chronicles 29 that he died of a good age. I thought it said good old age, but it just says good age. So, and he was full of days. Okay. Interesting. In the book of Psalms, we find those words that the days of our lives are numbered. It should be about 70, right? 70. If you've outlived that, he says, if you've outlived that, there are still many sorrows, right? So, but if you're even close to that, you understand that he says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. All right. We'll see that David is facing old age in this psalm. And as he presents his life story, he does so in the light of God's faithfulness, which ends with a note of praise to God. What a great lesson. So we need help to grasp this and also help to apply it. So let's look to God in prayer. Father, thank you for Psalm 71. Now I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, would open it up to us to understand it and motivate us to apply it. For we need your help as we call upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I open this up and talk about a psalm of old age, our society I put down here that doesn't like old age. But the dignity of the Bible does. Compare this. Proverbs 16, verse 31 says, gray hair is a crown of glory, it is gained in a righteous life. Or, Proverbs 28, verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. I thought of that. Okay, isn't it interesting how our society makes getting gray a gross violation? You ever stop and think about that? I mean, they tell you to color it, shave it, do anything but have gray hair, right? And God says it's a crown of glory. Speaking of getting old, here's what David says in Psalm 37. He goes, I have been young and now I am old. But what? Listen to this. He says, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging bread. Isn't that good? That's what he says. Now, here we go. This is a very instructive psalm because David is going to tell his story in the light of God's faithfulness. And I've broken it down into four parts. Just follow with me. And the four parts are a view of the past in verses 1 through 8, a view of the present in verses 9 through 11, and a view of the future in verses 12 through 18, and then a call for great praise, which really seals his hope and yours as well. So I'm going to read it, Psalm 71, follow with me, and then we'll break it down and as God speaks and shows us in his word. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and the cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. And upon you have I leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered. Who seek my hurt? But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. And with the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come and I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come, or those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You have you have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteousness and your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Okay, Psalm for old age, and the first thing we look at is a view of the past in verses 1 through 6, and the fact that God says it's never wrong to be humble. Listen to his humility. In you, Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In other words, I don't have anywhere else to go, God. Here I am. I'm just laying it out. Psalm 9 says that the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in the times of trouble. And he's in trouble here. Psalm 46, wonderful words that we quote all the time. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore, I will not fear though the earth gives way and though the mountains be moved in the heart of the sea. So we turn to God, and it's much like coming to Jesus Christ. When the gospel call comes to us, and Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, Jesus is calling us. Indeed, when the Spirit of God moves in our hearts, he calls us to come to him. Quit trying to work out your salvation and self-righteousness, and you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, as we come to him, and those words that he used there, never let me be put to shame, let me never be put to shame. Actually, the words that I thought of, and those words are kind of connected in the New Testament many times as a quotation of Isaiah 28. Here's what it says. Behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be put in haste. Okay, you say, wait a minute. I see that precious cornerstone. Peter describes him, that precious cornerstone that was rejected of men, okay, but rises to be the head of the corner. Jesus talked about that himself as he quoted from Isaiah 28. Who is that head of the corner? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, whoever puts his trust in him will not be put to haste, be in haste. So here's what it says. Listen to these words of Romans chapter 10. What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he says, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And then he brings this up. Listen to this. The scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Now, David writes a lot of things in the book of Psalms, as we pointed out in Psalm 69 and Psalm 68 and some of these other Psalms. As we've gone through these Psalms, we have a summer series in Psalms for those who are just new here this morning. And I go through the 10 or 11, sometimes 12 Psalms in a summer. And so we've been going through Psalm 64, and we'll go through Psalm 74 this year. Okay. And as we look at it, David writes and brings up many things that were considered to be messianic. And so Peter writes of David and the other prophets and says this, that the prophets wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. And it says when they wrote, they studied the things that they wrote. And I believe what David is here doing is he's writing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, oh Lord, I take refuge in you. Let me never be put to shame. It's kind of like grabbing hold of what is, although Isaiah came after him, but grabbing hold of this thought, let me never be put to shame. And God inspires Isaiah to write it. And then also in the New Testament. Point, verses 2 through 4, God will never let you down. Listen to what he says. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. For be to me a rock or a refuge to me, to which I may continually come. And have given you have given the commandment to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked and from the grasp of the cruel and unjust man. I guess you could understand that, right? That's pretty clear what he's saying there. And then also, notice he tells his story in verses 5 through 6. when he says, "O Lord, you are my hope, my trust. O Lord, my from my youth." Then notice how he says in verse 6, "You have on you I have leaned from before my birth, for you are the one who took me from my mother's womb, and my praise continually of you." Did you see that? Upon you I have leaned, even from before my birth. Now David writes in Psalm 139, he says, "You formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's wombs, and I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Has that ever dawned on you? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You ever stop and think about how our body parts work together? You ever think about how the healing that goes on in our bodies? Okay, stop and think about it. And he says, "Oh, wait a minute. God is the one who knitted me together in my mother's womb." The prophet Jeremiah was told by God, he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." Well, we're told in the book of Ephesians that God has predestinated us to be adopted children by Jesus Christ to himself. And he did this before the foundation of the world to the good pleasure of his will. So David says then, you knew me, you looked upon me, I looked to you even when I was in my mother's womb. And then he says this in Psalm 22, he says, "You took me from the womb and you made me to trust you at my mother's breasts." Wow. God was at work within our... What is David doing? He's looking to the past and said, "You know, when I was even conceived, God was had his hand there. When I was in my mother's womb, God was protecting me there. When I was born, God was protecting me. When I was at my mother's breast, God was protecting me." And then it says, "even through my youth." I'll give you an example of his youth. Okay, David, remember, David is instructed by his father to go and take supplies to his brothers who were fighting in the battle against the Philistines. And there was this big giant by the name of Goliath. Remember that? Okay, and as he went there, he told King Saul, "I'll go fight." And he says, Saul said, "Wait a minute, you don't have any armor." He says, "What do you mean you're going to fight?" He goes, and David said this, "The God of heaven delivered me from the paw of the bear and of the lion. And I know he'll deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine." David in his youth learned to trust God. What am I getting at? Okay, Psalm 71 is about David getting old. But if you sat down with David, he would start to talk about the things, "Look what God has done for me in the past." You know, God is writing your story, and all of you have a story. And if you who are older, you have a story to tell of what God has done in your past. And we could start even as we go back to the time that we were born. All right, second is the present view in verses 7 through 11. And notice in verse 7, it brings up this interesting word. He says, "I have been a portent to many." What does that word portent mean? Well, it's both good and bad. From a good standpoint, is David saying, God has put me on display as a marvel of all his blessings. That's the good side. The bad side is, I'm on display because this is one who's really faced a lot of calamity. Okay, so which is it? The answer is yes. Some of you looked up, and what were you talking about? Wasn't it yes? No. Both. David indeed has faced extreme calamities in his life, more than we were told in the scriptures. But we get the feeling like when you hear the scriptures and you hear about all the people that are after David, it was a constant struggle in his life. People were after him. Faced a lot of difficulties and circumstances, etc. But God was with him. He was a portent. He was on display. Here's what can happen to you, but also here's what God can do when you go through those difficulties. Isn't that good? Here's what God can do. He's a refuge. And notice what he says. Here's how he got through in verse 7. He says, "I've been a portent to many, but you are my strong..." Not just a refuge, a strong refuge. It says in Psalm 62, he says, "You have been my refuge and a strong tower." So notice, verse 8 is a conclusion of that. He says, "My mouth is just filled with your praise." There's a lot of Christians who give the silent treatment. They don't talk about what God has done in their lives. They aren't ready to, you know, there are some people that you get the conversation breaks, they'll tell you about themselves. Christians should be the people that, give me just a small portion, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you what He's doing in my life and what He's done in my life. And that's David. He says, I'm not going to be silent. He says, matter of fact, he says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Here, the story was, he's filled his mouth. He's got to get it out. Psalm 40 says, he put a new song in my mouth. Psalm 89, he says, with my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. So then we see in verses 9 through 11, I call this David the disquieted one. He says, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch from my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver. Do you ever consider the enemy called old age? I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but if any of you wake up in the morning with some aches and pains, you know what I'm talking about. Doesn't take long, right? I can see the smiles come on your face. Yeah, I've had a few. All right. Now, I read from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 before. But notice, I just want to point out a couple of things. What he says, here's what getting old is like. What's that saying is, getting old is not for the weak of heart. Right? All right. He says in verse 2, he says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the sun. You're not seeing very well. And the day when the keepers of the house tremble, there's a little palsy that set in. You can't keep your hands straight. The older you get, the harder it is to sign your name because your hand won't quit shaking. The strong men are bent. It's interesting, Jan keeps saying to me, stand up straight. I am. No, I'm not. Okay. Because we start to bend over. And he says, the grinders ceased because they're few. You know what that is. Your teeth are falling out. He says, the doors are shut. And he says, when the doors are shut and the sound of grinding is low and one rises at the sound of the bird. Does anybody have any problem sleeping in the morning? How many of you would like me to call you when I get up at 4 o'clock? Okay. It's just like, okay, the older you get, you just can't sleep. Some of you, you know, are accomplished at that. Enjoy it while you can. I said, there's a fear of what is high and what is, and he says, and the almond tree blossoms, that's the gray head. Okay, and then he says, before the silver cord is snapped, the golden bowl is broken. That's stroke and a heart attack. So what does he say? Dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, the gospel allows us, and what I really appreciate is Rick teaching on this. I'm enjoying being kind of co-teaching with Rick on this subject, death and dying, at our 9:30 Bible study. Come on, man. We're talking about something that's serious. And the gospel says we do not have to fear death because Jesus Christ won the victory over sin, Satan, and what? Death, and the fact that he came out of the grave. There's a man who believed the gospel. His name is John Wesley. Here's what John Wesley wrote on his 86th birthday. And by the way, he lived to be 88. On his 86th birthday, he says, This day I enter my 86th year. I find it hard. I find I grow old. You think so? All right. He says, my sight is decayed so that I cannot read small print unless I have a strong light. My strength is decayed so that I walk much slower than I did some years ago. My memory of names, whether persons or places, is decayed until I stop a little to recollect. What shall I be afraid of if I took thought of the morrow that my body should weigh me down in my mind and create either stubbornness by the decrease of my understanding or the decrease of my understanding or the peevishness by the increase of bodily infirmities? No, he says, thou shalt answer for me, O Lord my God. So a study of the past, your story of the past, brings you hope right now. Because if God has been with you in the past, what you're facing right now, God will be with you, and God will be with you in the future, as he says in verses 12 through 18. The first thing, he just brings out this poor in spirit, this humility in verses 12 through 14 when he says, "O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed, and with scorn and disgrace may they be covered with who seek my hurt. But I will continually hope continually and will praise you yet the more." Then he turns to like heartfelt thanksgiving in verses 15 through 16. But notice the standing on the promises then in verses 17 and 18 when he says, "O God, from my youth you have taught me. I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation and your power to those who come." Do not forsake me. Joshua was told in Joshua chapter 1, God says, "Be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go." Now Joshua lived that. Back in Numbers chapter 13, when the spies went into the land of Canaan, and they came back and they said, "It's a good place, but we can't take it. There are giants in the land." Joshua and Caleb, two of those spies who stood up against the resistance of the majority, tore their clothes and said, "We can take it with God's help." As a result, the people didn't go in, but Joshua and Caleb did. The rest of the people of that generation died in the wilderness. So we come to Isaiah chapter 46. This is the promise. I think I put it on your outline. It should be there. But anyway, the promises in Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. We stand on the promises as we face the future. "Listen to me, O house of Israel," or house of Jacob, "and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. To gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and will bear, I will carry and I will save." Did you get that? Okay, even to old age. We don't need to fear old age. But notice what God gave him as a purpose for life. It says in verse 18, "O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to those to come." Did you catch that? If you're young, you're building your story to tell to that your generation, and to the older folks, you are to tell it to the next generation. And for some people, you're able to tell it to the next and the next and the next. I think somebody's that old here. All right, so what do we get? We have the response. David said, "God has been with me even before I was born. God has been with me when I was born, on my mother's breast. God has been with me as a youth. God is with me right now. And God has promised to be with me in the future. What need I fear?" Psalm 71 is pretty good, isn't it? Gives you a lot of strength and help. So the call for great praise is in verses 19 through 24. First of all, a praise for, number one, his righteousness. Notice verse 19, "Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens." What does that mean, God's righteousness? God does what is right. I love singing that, "Whatever my God ordains." We sing that song here. It's a remake of an old hymn. "Whatever my God ordains is right." Has to be. Deuteronomy chapter 32 says his way is perfect. Psalm 18 says his work is perfect. Psalm 18 says his way is perfect. So the question I'd have for you this morning as you look at your life, how has God done the right thing in your life? Maybe you haven't seen it perfect at the time, but maybe you later saw that what he was doing was right, and so you can trust him now and in the future. 2005, God had me laying on my back in a hospital in Denver, Colorado, and poked with all kinds of things, and I was in ICU. Had a lung collapse after a lung biopsy, and then they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. "Whatever my God ordains is right." Wow. I went from Iron Man to Michelin Man. I say Michelin Man because I blew up, looked like Michelin Man, okay, when I had a lung collapse. Now, was that right? He ordained it, didn't he? Whatever my God ordains is right. He uses all things to work together for our good. We may not see the good right now, but one of the good is that He's conforming our character to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And so He says, notice, I want you to see verse 20. He says, "You have made me see many troubles and calamities. You revive me again, and from the depths of the earth You will bring me up again." You know what David is expressing there? The hope of the resurrection. Even if I go into the depths, they bury me, yet You're going to bring me up again. And he says, my greatness will be known. Not because David did such a great thing, but he shines with the greatness of God upon him. God took him from the grave. And that's what happens on the resurrection day. Then we look forward to that. When Jesus Christ will say, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of the sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, God does what is right, and that's a reason to rejoice. And then we come down in verses 22 through 24, we praise Him for His faithfulness. He says, "I will praise You with harp for Your faithfulness, O my God." Faithfulness. Do you understand what he says in Hebrews chapter 6? That it is impossible, impossible for God to lie. Do you ever take His promises serious? Sometimes I hand out, I'm so thankful, and thank you, Michelle Glandon, for sending me that book that I mentioned all the time. When I was in college, I was such an, I was so naive about a lot of things. And so I carried around I bought this at a Christian bookstore. It's this little book called the Jesus Person Pocket Promise Book. Okay, and this is it is just divided with the promises of God. If you have a need here, here's a promise for that. Okay, so I mentioned that one Sunday, and Michelle, she should have been listening to the sermon, but she got on Amazon and ordered it. So. Okay. But I'm thankful for it because it brought back such great memories. And I've passed out copies to a number of people. I think Nick Betancourt is handing it out to people too. And so what it is the promises of God are vast. And if God has said it, as He says in Isaiah chapter 46, if I have spoken it, it shall come to pass. Period. Mark it down. And so we take those promises and says, God said it. God said it. So David is here saying, God said it, and I respond to His faithfulness. He cannot lie. Part of that cannot lie is the fact that He has promised to be with me even in old age. And so in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah writes and says, "This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning." And what's the response? "Great is Thy faithfulness." When Jan and I pray together, I think most of the time that comes up all the time. 47 years of marriage, God's been faithful. God is faithful. Some of you have served the Lord for many, many years, and you know that God is faithful. So my challenge for you this morning is write your story. Be willing to rehearse your story. There are some young people who need to hear that story. To say, if God has been with Rick Richard, I know He can be with me. If God has tested the waters and been with Bruce and Mary Black for over 50 years, I know He can help our marriage. If God has strengthened any one of us in the past, we have the ability to go forward and rely upon that same God who has been with us even from before birth. Isn't that a good psalm? I'll leave you with one more promise. There was a promise given in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. It was actually given to the tribe of Asher. But I love the last phrase of that. It says in the tribe of Asher, it says, "Most blessed sons of Asher, let him be the favorite of his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your bars shall be iron and bronze." Okay, you're saying, what does that mean? Don't deal with that. Deal with this next phrase, because I think we can take this next phrase and say, good for us too. Here's what God says through Moses and blessing these tribe of Asher. As your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. Let's see, there's a New Testament passage that corresponds with that. The Apostle Paul was given a thorn in the flesh that he wouldn't be such filled with such pride. And he asked God to take away this thorn in the flesh three times. What was the response? Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. As your days, so shall your strength be. Psalm 71, a psalm for old age, that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we can say with boldness, the Lord is our helper, even down to old age.